The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I'm John Hinderacher from Powerline, filling in for Seth for one last time this week, and I'm glad it is Friday, and I trust you probably are too. We are delighted now to be joined by Susan Voss, an Arizona resident who writes a very popular weekly column at the Powerline website under the byline Ammo Girl. Susan, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, John. Happy to be here.
So, Susan, let me kick it off with this question. You made a living for many years as a stand-up comedian. And as you survey the national scene, you know, every time you turn on a TV set or open up a newspaper, have you ever seen an environment this target-rich before?
Well, it is target-rich, John, but it's almost... there's no such thing as parody anymore, really. You know, I mean, the reality is so bizarre that it's almost impossible to make fun of it. You know,
in a short segment at the end of the last hour, we played the audio of this video that I'm sure you've seen, where Joe Biden is campaigning in Iowa, and some guy asks him kind of a challenging question about his son Hunter and the $3 million. You know, it's just like a visible question to me. And Joe goes snake on the guy, calls him fat. You know, and he challenges him to a push up contest. You know, I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Yes, he lost his mind, but what's left of it? But, what happened to body shaming? I mean, that, first of all, is a terrible no-no in their world. And secondly, I would have accepted the challenge. I would have said, yes, I will match you push-up for push-up. You go first and let him, you know, do like 20 push-ups and then just say, you win. that's what I would have done. But that's just me.
Well, of course, Joe has had a strange week. The thing with biting his wife's finger and chewing on it, you know, and then that weird riff he went off on. He keeps, you know, one thing, if I were his campaign manager, I would advise Joe Biden never again to refer to any experience he has had at a municipal swimming pool.
There you go. That's very good advice. And also, please just don't even bring up the word hair. You know, whether you're sniffing little girls' hair or whether they're stroking your leg hair, it's creepy, Joe. We don't want to hear about it.
It is an amazing phenomenon. Susan, you had your column today, and I would advise all of our listeners to go to Powerline, just Google Powerline or go to powerlineblog.com. And if you're not familiar with Powerline, you really should start reading it. But one good place to begin would be by going there and scrolling down just a bit and until you get to today's Ammo Girl column, which I thought, Susan, was very funny. And it is the theme of the column is you have located four people who are even less qualified for their jobs than Hunter Biden.
Well, actually, I claim that they're more qualified. Four people who have better qualifications.
I blew the setup. Sorry.
No, you didn't. That's okay. I mean, I talk about. You know, first of all, poor Sean Spicer, who was just a totally dreadful dancer on Dancing with the Stars. But just to poke the left in the eye, the conservatives kept voting him to go on to the next level. I do not watch Dancing with the Stars, but I thought that was particularly hilarious. And so in a parody, I suggested that Sean was now going to be the lead choreographer and head dancer for the New York Ballet, and suggested that he was yet more qualified for that, even though he was a terrible dancer, than Hunter was. Has anyone, including Joe, put forward the slightest qualification that his son had for this job? Does he speak the language? Does he know anything about fuel? I mean, what the heck?
Well, the answer, Susan, the answer to that question is no. I mean, it's just laughable. And in his tirade against the fat guy, as he said,
yeah,
he said, no one has accused me of doing anything wrong. No one has accused my son of doing anything wrong. Well, Joe, that's not, I'm not the only one, but I, for one, have accused Hunter and Joe of accepting a $3 million bribe. This is not a subtle point, you know. Nobody is dumb enough to bribe an office holder by writing him a check. Okay, no one does that. What you do is you write the check to a family member, and you do it in exchange for minimal or non-existent services. That is how you pay the bribe. And I think it's just comical to watch these TV reporters pretend not to understand that.
Well, you can't even raise it. I mean, they have declared the whole subject to be verboten. What do you think, John? Do you think that Biden has a chance? Who do you think is going to be the nominee? Do you have any feeling?
Well, I'm not sure who's going to be the nominee. Let me answer that first question. I don't think Biden has a chance. I've been saying for a long time he's a dead candidate walking. I don't see him making it to the finish line. But if I were a Democrat, I would have just shudders going down my spine every time I look at a poll and there's Joe Biden still on top. You know, the fact that they don't have a candidate who can edge out this walking disaster, Joe Biden, is a very frightening thing. I thought Kamala Harris, you know, looked like an early favorite. I don't know. Who do you think is going to get it?
Well, I think that they're pretty much going to have to go with a woman, don't you think? But who have they got left? I mean, Warren, I think, is the only woman in America less pleasant than Hillary Clinton.
Right.
So I can't see that. But on the other hand, I thought they probably needed an African American. Certainly, Cory Booker thinks they needed an African American, and I thought it was downright hilarious that actually Kamala was rejected by African Americans. They prefer Joe Biden to her. What is that?
Right, strange taste in candidates. I can't explain it. By the way, if you assume that they really want to nominate a woman, Amy Klobuchar is waiting in the wings.
News, she has, you know, the charisma of a wet dress shield. I mean, there is no way. I don't understand the Minnesota phenomenon. What do they call it? That she's everybody's nice big sister or something, but in reality, that's not her personality. I mean, if she, you know, pitches fits and screams at her staff and that sort of thing. I don't know.
Oh, right, exactly. She's long topped everybody's list of the most vicious boss in Washington, D.C. Now, that's got to be a tough competition, but she keeps winning it.
Oh, my goodness. Really? Well, yeah, that would be a tough competition. And speaking of Washington, D.C. and P.J. O'Rourke call them, the Parliament of Whores? Why can't we find out this giant slush fund that they have for paying off the sexual harassment claims when they're going, you know, bringing up 14-year-old haircuts by Mitt Romney and 30-year-old alleged parties that Kavanaugh went to? Why can't we find out who was paid? By whom and what those charges were for that slush fund?
I'm guessing Susan, that the answer to that question is that there is bipartisan opposition to that disclosure.
Ah, I think you might be right. Yeah. Well,
it is kind of an amazing thing that with all the stuff that becomes public, a lot of which shouldn't, that is one set of facts that are being closely guarded secrets. You know, Susan, you started to talk about, we started to talk about your column today at Powerline and the four people that you identified more qualified for their jobs than Hunter Biden. One of them is Sean Spicer to head the ballet company.
Yes,
who's another of your four people more qualified than Hunter?
Oh, well, I thought Jesse Smollett, for example, as a script writer on a new show that they should have called How to Become a Victim of a Hate Crime. Because I thought that the story that he put together, that he had to go out for a sandwich at 2 a.m. in well below zero weather and just happened to run into two racist, mega hat-wearing guys who were just out there at the same time carrying bleach and a rope to make a noose to put around his head.
It's a wonderful coincidence. Hey, Susan, we're up against a hard break. We're up against a hard break, but stick with us through the break, Susan, and we will talk some more on the Seth Leibson Show.
Sure.
Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. We are talking with Ammo Girl, the very popular columnist at the Powerline website. And by the way, should I call you Ammo or Ms. Girl? What's the proper form?
Mrs. Cossack, I think, would be good. I am married to the famous novelist, Max Cossack. And I also have a new book out, the fifth in my series of compilations of the column, in case people have missed the last 5 years of the column. And my new one is called Ammo Girl is a Straight Shooter. And it is available right this minute on Amazon. So I would encourage everyone with the holiday season coming up.
It would make a perfect gift if you have any hardcore right-wing relatives, or even if you don't.
Or someone you just want to annoy. Yeah.
Well, annoy them with a little humor. So let's tick off the titles. What was the first Ammo Girl book?
The first Ammo Girl is Ammo Girl Hits the Target, and then Ammo Girl Aims True. And then the third one was after Hillary's deplorable speech called, appropriately, Ammo Girl Returns Fire. And I was particularly pleased with my response to her. And then Ammo Girl is Home on the Range is book four. And this is Ammo Girl is a Straight Shooter. And I'm already working on book six, which is going to be Ammo Girl Reloads. So, you know, I'm running out of gun metaphors.
Well, I don't know. There's a few more you haven't used. I mean, I'm sure we offline, I could think a little bit.
I'm sure. Well,
more.
I welcome any suggestions. By the way, I just checked in with the column and a guy whose avatar is Great Hair Guy says, thanks, John. I am now listening to a fun interview with Ammo Girl while you are filling in for Seth Leibson.
Well, there you go.
We have
That's what happens when you plug stuff. We have an audience member. Yeah, right. So each of these books is like, what, a year's worth of columns?
Yes, 52 columns plus some other material. And it's a compilation. You know, I was a stand-up for 30 years, John, and there is almost nothing left of that career. That is to say, after I retired, almost everything I had was on VHS tape, and I stupidly stored those tapes in the basement, and they all got mildewy and unwatchable. I threw out a whole bunch of just interviews and stuff like that in the paper. And it's almost like that whole 30 years didn't exist except in my memory, my ever-failing memory. So part of the reason I did this is just for archival purposes. you know, just
that's how I feel about my law career too. It's all just kind of gone up in smoke. You know, who remembers? I don't know. So Susan, I want to return to your column today that was published today on Powerline about four people who are more qualified for their jobs than Hunter Biden. One of them was Sean Spicer, more qualified.
Yes, one of them was Jerry Nadler. I said Jerry Nadler has been named the style editor of Gentleman's Quarterly because the new look for 2020 will be that belted under the armpits look that he has popularized. I say that with the baggy suit and the shirt that's damp with the House Judicial Committee hearing flopped wet. Boy, you know, you got crazy Popeye pencil-necked Schiff doing part one and Jerry Nadler doing part two. They are just wrong. They're just incredibly incompetent, don't you think?
Well, they're unbelievable. I mean, there were news reports that Nancy Pelosi referred this set of hearings that they had to Adam, or not the hearings, but the, you know, the whatever they were calling it, the investigation, the inquiry, whatever it was, to Adam Schiff because he was a more telegenic personality than Jerry Nadler. It's like, oh my God. I mean, A, that is a low bar, but B, I'm not sure Adam Schiff even gets over that bar. It's hard to think between the two of them.
I don't think he does.
And of course,
I don't think there's anyone less pleasant, is there? I don't know.
No, it's hard to think of any. So in his capacity as a style editor of GQ, Jerry Nadler will, of course, be paid the requisite $80,000 per month.
$80,000 a month. Yeah.
And it's actually 83 and change because if you multiply it by 12, it's a million.
Wow. 83 and change.
Hunter's deal.
I mean, I understand. And it is so disgusting because there are millions of people in this country that would be thrilled with just the three of that, John. You know, I mean, we were poor for many years. If we had been making $3,000 a month, we would have thought we had died and gone to heaven. And there are, you know, plenty of people that don't make that still today. And that it's $80,000 a year for most people would be a fantasy, you know, something so wonderful.
It'd be a terrific income. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And most people
are doing nothing.
But he gets it every month only as long as his father's vice president, you know, and in charge of Ukraine policy for the Obama administration. It's not like he actually had value that was ongoing so that they would keep him in this board of directors role.
Right.
It was a three-year gig because, you know, after that his usefulness has come to an end. But the people, Susan, who would be delighted with an $83,000 a year income would naturally assume that in order to qualify for that income, they would need to speak the language in which the business of that company is transacted, right?
Yes, just for openers, just that, yeah. Exactly.
I mean, there would be other qualifications too, but you would have to actually be able to talk to your coworkers in their language, I would think.
But that was not
a job requirement for Hunter Biden. Susan, the last of your people more qualified for the $1 million a year job than Hunter Biden is none other than Ammo Girl herself. Tell us about
that. Yes, I thought with the resistance getting ever more vicious. And you see the booing of our beautiful First Lady and very terrible treatment of her out there. It's kind of scary. And I thought that she could use a body double.
Hold that thought, Susan. We're coming up against another break.
We'll
just tease it with
there
that. Mrs. Trump could use a body double. And we'll pursue that thought further after these messages.
Thank you.
Be right back.
Yes.
Welcome back to the program. We are talking with Ammo Girl. And by the way, Ammo, you should be right at home on this show because it seems like about every third ad is for some kind of firearms business. It's really heartwarming.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's good. So before the break, Susan, we were talking about your column in today's Powerline, where you identified four people who are more qualified for their jobs than Hunter Biden and more deserving of that nice $1 million a year contract. And the fourth, which we had, you had just gotten this far before the break, is that it seemed to you that Melania Trump, given the level of invective and hate and so on in the air, that Melania Trump could use a body double.
Yes, and who better than a 5-foot-tall, 73-year-old woman who can't walk in high heels? I mean, it was a no-brainer, really, to choose myself. But I suggested in the parody that I wrote that I won the job in the critical return. Hello?
Yep. Yeah, I don't know, some weird sound.
I'm still here. Oh, something's happening with my cell phone. I don't know what. Am I still on, John?
Yeah. There was some weird noise there. I don't know.
Okay, well, hopefully it went away. I think I got a text or something. Yeah, I'm very high tech here. So, yes, anyway, I suggested myself as the body double because of what I called the critical return fire portion of the interview. Is obviously you're going to need somebody who can shoot back in a bad situation, and that would be me. Now, you've shot with me. You know I'm a pretty good shot.
You are a pretty good shot. I would recommend you to anybody as a bodyguard or a body double, but I'm not sure, Susan, that a lot of people would actually confuse you with Mrs. Trump if you were, standing side by side or something.
That's true. That is one of the problems with it. But
still, nevertheless, the point is, the humorous point is that nevertheless, you are still better qualified for that job than Hunter Biden is for the job that he got paid $3 million for.
There you go. That was the point, yes, of all four of them, is that, in fact, I don't think you could think of anyone who had any job that would not be more qualified for that job than Hunter Biden. Can you even think of an example of someone who would be less qualified for their job?
Barack Obama?
Oh.
Just kidding. Susan, let's stick with Melania Trump for a moment. I mean, I'm a Republican, whatever. I kind of enjoy Trump. I certainly like his policies. But I think that Melania Trump is a tremendously classy, obviously very beautiful, and as far as I can see, fully admirable woman. And it is astonishing to me the venom that gets unloaded on her by Democrats.
How low do you have to go to attack a first lady's choice of Christmas decoration?
Right.
And the outfit that she was wearing when she showed them off. I mean, she had the temerity to wear a white coat. I mean, if that isn't a dog whistle to every white supremacist, I can't imagine what would be, but it's really pathetic that that they would stoop so low as to attack her choice of Christmas decorations. Can you imagine?
Yeah, you know, every year the White House puts out a video on that year's Christmas decorations of the White House. And it's just, this is not intended to be a controversial political document. You know, it's just showing the Christmas decorations. And the video is kind of hosted by the First Lady. And anybody else who's ever done this, it's like, ho-hum, well, that's the White House decorated for Christmas. And Melania Trump was viciously attacked for things including the color of her coat. Can it get any worse, or have we reached peak insanity?
I don't think it can. I mean, do you happen to recall when John Roberts joined the court that he had his two very young children? I think they might have been about 3 and 6 or 4 and 7 or something like that. And they were all dressed up in real cute little outfits when he went to pick his
Hey, Ammo, I did it again. I asked you a question right as we were about to start counting down to the break. So let's hold that thought if I can keep you on for just one more segment. We'll come back after this break. All right, now I got a comment on bumper music here. I allege that the Seth Liebson Show has the best bumper music in radio, and our producer tells me that 95% of it is selected by Seth himself, who is a fan of country music. I wouldn't say classic country music, because I'm not talking about, you know, the real oldies, but during what I think of as a kind of a golden era that sort of petered out about 5 or 10 years ago, in my opinion. And that's mostly what you hear is bumper music. But Bill, our producer, I am guessing that what we just heard there was one of your 5% selections. Is that true?
Oh, it's in the overlap that we both like, but it's not true. It was one of Seth's.
Oh, man. You know, Seth and I were talking about, I was on his show as a guest one time, and the bumper music was some great country song, and I commented on it, and Seth said, you know, someday, we talked about country music briefly, and Seth said, someday I should have you on the show for an hour just to talk about country music. And we're talking here with Ammo Girl, popular columnist for the Powerline website. And Ammo, don't you ever get the feeling that you would love an opportunity to just talk about country music for an hour and leave politics behind?
Oh, it would be awesome, and I could come on and be with you. I, you know, since I live in Arizona, I could even come into a studio, for heaven's sake. But yeah, what do you consider the golden era? George Strait.
Yeah, actually, that sums it up very, very well. I would say that the era during which George Strait was active, I would call the golden era of country music. Yep. Many others,
Don
of course,
Williams.
Too.
Don Williams is one of my favorites. We just lost him not too long ago. I am less crazy about the more country rock, the guys that sort of have gone out of the category of country into, you know, like Florida Georgia Line and those guys. They're fine, but I prefer old school pretty much.
Yeah. So when you were a stand-up comedian for all those years, Susan,
yeah.
You didn't do political humor, did you? I don't recall that
Almost
really being
never.
Your thing.
Almost never, no. And the reason was it had a very short shelf life. I mean, you see yourself with our columns and with Powerline, is there'll be something that's totally hot for 3 days, and it just goes away, you know. And people would make, who remembers who Donna Rice was, right? You know, I mean
I remember, Susan, but your point is well taken. I'm sure most people do not.
Yeah, well, you would remember, John, because you remember a lot more about pretty ladies than some people. But anyway, I didn't do much politics because it was divisive as well, John. Is I just felt like, why alienate half of your audience right out of a shoot?
See, I think, you know? To me, that makes perfect sense, right? And any, I don't care what business you're in, what enterprise you're in, why would you conduct it in such a way that immediately cuts you off from half of your potential market? So it's really interesting to me, Susan, that today's comedians don't, for the most part, do not follow that philosophy. I haven't watched late night television in decades, you know, but I take it that it's one big Trump hate fest. What's the logic behind that?
Well, that's apparently where the money is. I mean, you know, even a person like Kathy Griffin, who's never been funny even by accident, you know, she carries a bloody beheaded Trump thing, and she at least as of not too long ago, she was worth $20 million. I'm not, you know, to be blunt, but and you know, these other ones that hauled out the lowest gutter words they could come up with to describe Ivana. They're all rich, so there must be a market for it. I don't understand it. I worked in the corporate scene almost exclusively, especially women's wellness was kind of a niche market for me, and you couldn't use the words and the concepts and things that they're using now. It's really gone completely into the toilet. And I'm not just opposed to naughty words. I mean, I thought that Richard Pryor was hilarious. If once you got past, you know, a constant stream of F-words, he also was very, very funny. And there's a lot of comedians that watched him, and the only lesson they took away from it was that you should use really bad language, but they didn't have any actual jokes with it. And that's what I dislike most about this current crop. Even Jimmy Kimmel and all the Jimmys on late night, I don't watch them either, but I occasionally see things on the internet that they've said, and it's just a hate fest on Trump. They don't have any actual jokes.
It's not funny. No, it's not funny. So you, though, Susan, have in your Powerline columns, of course, you do sort of political humor, right?
Oh, yeah. There, for sure. Yeah.
How do you feel about that? I mean, it's sort of unlimbering your conservative muscles after, you know, restraining them during your stand-up career.
Exactly. I mean, Joe and I, my husband and I, used to joke that, you know, I had this sort of one persona for my public persona, and then I would say things that he would say, you can't say that in public. Well, now I can. So it's kind of freeing.
Yes, right. It's liberating, right. Well, a lot of us have experienced that. So we're talking with Susan Voss, the famous ammo girl of the weekly Friday Powerline column. And let's repeat, Susan, that you've got a brand new book out. What's it called, and where can our listeners get it?
Yes, you can just go right to Amazon and order it. And then you might want to order the entire oeuvre, as it were. It's called Ammo Girl is a Straight Shooter. And there are four others, and it's a compilation of all my columns that have appeared on Powerline. And I would say, if you're not a particularly political person, that they're about 50-50, just plain humor and kind of Irma Bombeck almost type stuff. I was a big fan of hers. Just kind of ordinary housewife, marriage, children kind of stuff, and then half political. Probably.
So Ammo Girl is a Straight Shooter. You can get it right now on Amazon. Susan Voss, thank you very much for being with us. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me. It was a joy, and call me anytime you need me. I'm right here.
Yes. We're going to run to a break, and we'll take calls after this break. If you want to be heard on anything that we've been talking about today or something new, the number to call is 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Welcome back to the program. If you want to be heard on anything, anything we've talked about or something we haven't, give us a call, 602-508-0960. Let's go to Rob in Surprise on line two. Rob, you are on the air.
Well, thank you, John, and happy Friday to you. I talked to you, I think, on Monday about, God, I don't even remember anymore. Just a couple things. I'm so grateful that you had Emil Girl on because I'm a huge fan. I love what she writes when she's on Powerline. And I was thinking she should branch out into children's books, you know, something like Emil Girl brings an AR-15 to show and tell. Or something along those lines, because I think, you know, she was talking about all the books she writes, but I think, again, you know, we always worry about how to influence younger minds. And one of the ways we can do that is maybe Emil Girl could single-handedly come up with some, you know, conservative children's book alternatives to the crap that comes out now. And I also really enjoy whenever she writes, and she's even more senior than me, but that's okay. The real reason I was calling was, as I may have mentioned, I'm a retired naval aviator. I got my wings at Naval Air Station Pensacola before dirt was invented. And I had also been there with my wife in August touring the museum, which is a great place. And I had found out after researching, you know, the shooting that I discovered the base. And I guess this is the case these days, is a gun-free zone. And I thought to myself, well, you know, when I was going through training, we had Marine guards at the gates with guns, and you didn't want to mess with any of them. And we had guys on base that were, you know, the base police that had weapons. And I'm not sure, but I think there was a Clinton administration directive that came out and created gun-free zones on most bases.
Well, that's what happened at Fort Bragg, right? When that crazy psychiatrist murdered however many servicemen. Fort Hood, right, exactly. Fort Hood is a gun-free zone? Are you kidding me?
Oh, I know. Well, that's just totally absurd. So I was thinking, well, you know, maybe the president, in light of what happened in the last couple of days between Pearl Harbor and in Pensacola, may want to reconsider or issue some directive that maybe it's not a bad idea to provide some armed security on base, because it was the Escambia County Police that actually ended up shooting and killing this guy. The other thing was, I was very familiar with foreign military sales and how these guys, you know, get the training on naval aviation and other things, you know, defense articles and services, because I used to work those programs in one of my last jobs in the Navy. And I know the Air Force does the same thing. I think that there's some, you know, concern, and you'll see it on Twitter, where, you know, why are we training these people? Well, it's
I thought we stopped giving flight lessons to Saudis after 9/11.
Well,
apparently not.
Well, yeah.
Rob, we're up against a hard break, Rob. So thanks very much for calling. We'll be right back after these messages.